All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of The Gray Matters, where we discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a Black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So we're here to hopefully bring that to you every week with a little bit of nuance, class, and some fun. Our panel consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike, and you'll soon come to find out, if you haven't already, just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. My name is Kyle today, joining you from Delaware, where I'm joined also by my good friends, Eric Cartman out in Nashville, and none other than, you guessed it, Kenny McCormick out in Portland. Say hello, gentlemen. Wait, where your jacket at, bro? What's up? Yeah, how we doing, fellas?
Good. Absolutely great. How about you?
Listen, I'm living the dream. We see how long we get. See if we can make it through here without Kenny getting killed.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We'll give it the best shot, we can.
I know. Boy, I gotta be Kenny. Golly,
well, it could be worse. You could be.
I could have been Kyle. Tolkien,
you could be Tolkien Black.
I could have been Kyle though, like a whole other dude who's in the episodes, like all the episodes, who doesn't die.
Yeah, but where does that leave? Well, that where does that leave me? Because I'm Kenny. I mean Kyle. Excuse me.
I'm Kyle. You Kyle.
Yeah, I'm Kyle. Uh-huh. I mean, you can be Chef. How about that? You want to be Chef?
There you go. I could have been Chef.
No. I know. No, you can be Mr. Garrison.
No.
Wow.
No, I don't want to be Mr. Garrison.
Okay.
Well.
Okay.
There's a certain population of people who don't have any clue what we're talking about. So let's go ahead and get started.
Right. And if you don't, you don't. Yeah. We're not even going to explain it. Right. You should be. You yeah, like that up like highbrow. This is highbrow.
Yeah, I can't get help it that you were underprivileged. Yeah. Like you didn't
like keep up. Keep up. We ain't about to explain our jokes.
Absolutely.
No.
But this week, kicking it off with a cartoon reference. This week's episode is brought to you by one of the least famous villains from a cartoon by the name of Syndrome. You don't know him because we're talking about The Incredibles, where he gave one of the greatest quotes ever.
Yes!
If everybody is super, then nobody is.
Yes.
Our topic for today is
what I say to athletes. I've said this to every single athlete that I've ever coached.
That's strong, man. That's strong. I didn't even see that one coming. That's strong. That is
boy.
Are we celebrating too much mediocrity? Ooh. In this great United States of America,
America,
talk it.
From the sports to the classroom to the superstars that we pick,
politicians, singers, teachers,
man,
students.
Oh, we love a guy right in the fat, juicy middle. We love a C+, motherfucker. Ooh, I swear, we love a C+.
Man. So let's
a nice juicy C+.
Man, you about to make me put my Kevin Samuels on. Like, listen, there's an awful lot of y'all that think y'all gonna get that high value, man. Mm-hmm. Mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna start with Paul on this one. Because okay. Rev just started the last couple weeks.
Man,
so let's go.
Let's start off with Paul. So we'll start in the trophy participation room, if mm-hmm. we will. Mm-hmm. Because I'll preface it for people who aren't looking at us. Shout out to all our people who listen on Spotify and the other streaming platforms without the video. We're of a certain age. Now, mm-hmm. we're not old, but we are of an age where there were no participation trophies.
None.
Zero. Fact, didn't even know what that was.
Sprinkles are for winners.
Man. In fact, we're from a generation where if you sucked, they told you you sucked.
Yes. And you accepted it and went home and did something about it. Or
either did something about it.
How about this? I'll go further. We're from the age where you could ride the bench in rec ball.
They weren't trying to get Your mom paid those $35 in fees and you just rode it out.
So that's it.
So, yeah. So Paul, do we have shifted the pendulum too far where we have to give everybody a participation trophy or what effects do you see that causing in this great land of ours?
Okay. I'm going to come at it from a few different angles.
Okay.
Being a former youth coach, so I've seen it in different angles, and I've coached teams that were terrible, like terrible, like awful, like one or two games, right? And the parents are like, when do we get our trophies? And I'm like, for what? But again, this is part of culture. Right. And then I've coached on teams that have won championships that were always in a championship. They didn't care about the trophy. It's one that, unless we won the championship.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So being in both environments was helpful for my oldest son because he had to learn how to win. Right. So when you coach into Let's keep it 100. You coach in the hood. As soon as something goes wrong, the kids are going to quit. They're going to fold. They're going to start cussing each other out. Whatever. You get to the burbs. You start, you know, coaching and something goes wrong. And the kids kind of band together. It's okay. We're going to be all right. It's a different mentality. It's weird. And if you've been a coach, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You can win with less talent in the suburbs, and you'll lose with an abundance of talent in the hood every year because of the mentality. And what I've learned is the kids in the hood, for whatever reason, seem to be more coddled than the kids in the suburbs. And that's just my impression from coaching. Mm-hmm. They're more coddled. Now, when puberty hits and all that stuff hits and you can't, and things become undeniable, right? Like talent and genetics and all that stuff takes over.
You 6 foot eight. That's just
ain't nothing you can do about that.
Right.
Right. But when they're young and they're just clay, it seems like the middle class white parents are more likely to let you yell at and mold your kids than the poor black parents.
Hmm.
Just my opinion. From my experience.
Man, you got racial quick.
I'm just going off my experience.
We're like 5 minutes in, and you done came.
I'm going off my experience. I'm going off my experience. And it's not just black people. Upwardly mobile black people act like upwardly mobile white people, if you've been around. You understand what I'm saying? But poor black people don't like you to really challenge their children at all.
And so this leads
wild.
This leads to a good point though, which is, as we mentioned growing up, if you sucked, or at least in our childhood, if you sucked, then you know, you sat on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I was a person, and we, through our other conversations, y'all have discovered, like, growing up, like before I reached puberty, I was uncoordinated. And I was not very good, at a lot, but I just wasn't. And my mom, you know, I was on the bench and my mom let me be on the bench. Like it wasn't, my mama came and I had to have a conversation with the coach about why, my son ain't playing.
Everybody
half the time, shit, my father was my coach. So he benched me. But at the same time, like,
boy, sorry.
They let me be on the bench. But like, now we got parents who like to, my son just ain't getting the opportunity. We like to play the blame game. Of why your son ain't getting the opportunity, he ain't getting the college scholarship because the coach didn't play my son back in third grade when he knew he was clearly the best player on the team. So Billy, both of y'all are perfect for this because both of y'all coach. So Billy,
that better be your reason. Like, wait a minute now.
Let's keep it 100. We're both perfect for this because we're both undersized, underspeeded athletes who went to college.
Yep.
Okay.
Like, let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
Right. But like, we still got to college.
Oh yeah.
To play sports. Right. So we're still elite. Even if we bums amongst the elite, we still elite.
You got in the room. That's what I was getting ready to say.
We still in the goddamn room.
So when you look at the parents that are doing the coddling as not just coaches are coddling, but parents are definitely coddling, making excuses. Like, do you think that that's fostering in a victimhood mentality or just breed mediocrity, or that you don't have to work for what you need, or like, how do you see that playing out?
I'll take the inverse of what you said about kind of coddling and people feel like they deserve it. I'll use a different word. I love my words and things like that. Entitlement. I believe that entitlement is one of the leading, I'm not going to say it's the only thing or even more than that, but it is a significant factor in why mediocrity persists. Even beyond sports and academics and all of that, what I find is that...
Hold on, Billy. Let me ask you this. Do you believe there's more entitlement today than there was when we were coming up?
It is not. It is exponentially higher today.
Really? In what way?
I believe that because... what's that saying we use? What's understood don't need to be said. We understood, you and I, me, now Andre,
Andre's a different
dude. Yeah, he figured out.
You and
he,
I were regular,
yes,
regular we were, homo, yeah. Homo sapiens.
Right.
Who buckled right. our chin strap.
Okay.
Andre and his brother were aliens who happened to play on the same field.
Like
as
Peter Griffin for people who don't know, like I didn't get to finish that. I figured it out. Like,
yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say.
By the time I was 11 and 12, grade, I figured it out.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We was so, go ahead. I tell people all the time, I was sitting at the desk in the desk next to Andre when it was like, oh snap. Like all the stuff came together all at once. But anyway, I say that to say this. I find that adversity is something that parents, and especially those who came up challenges, frustrations, didn't have opportunities, they want to give their kids a certain life, but they don't realize that the missing ingredient is, in fact, adversity. So they don't realize that if you don't give, and I don't mean adversity like you got to walk uphill in the snow on the way to school both ways. I mean adversity meaning you sat the bench, meaning you didn't have to get a ride. I walked home from football practice and track practice and games and baseball. I walked.
Well, let's talk about me stealing downs at St. X on Friday nights.
There you go.
We laugh about it in group chat. I stole downs.
Literally.
They had no plan of ever putting me in the game.
He accidentally got a couple run backs, and then there goes the story, right?
Yeah.
But the point is that there is a certain character that you take through the rest of life. I think at one point, Andre and I, we were talking about how his path getting to Louisville, like, it involved some detours. It wasn't a straight line. My path was not a straight line. I didn't just
see
the spirit. Exactly. And it's what I find is Arnold Schwarzenegger talked about this, where he talked about how when he lost, or not lost, when he came in second place in his first world championship to Frank Zane, he was like totally stunned because he was the bigger, he was the up and coming, he just knew he had it, and he got knocked down. That is adversity. And so I say that only to say that it's a certain mindset that it's almost like the mediocrity comes from people who, it's almost like the lines get blurred. There are, in fact, ways to determine, like we ran countless different times. In high school, Andre was just faster. Like, however you want to slice that, okay?
Let's be 100% honest. Right. He was a superior human to you when it came to getting in the blocks.
Exactly. And here's the thing.
Here's
where I'm going with it. That's exactly the point. Because what happens is people want a participation trophy instead of just accepting the fact that there's no shame in me coming in third. Yeah, I came in third in the GCLs. There's no shame in that. Like, why does it always have to be winning? And that's where I was going with it when it comes to mediocrity. People they bought into this idea that, what's the Ricky Bobby saying? If you didn't come in first,
you ain't first, you last.
If you ain't first, you last. And people literally extrapolate that out to everything in life. And it's like, there is no shame
in coming in.
Yeah, zero sum. There's no shame in coming in. If you graduated with 400 other people in your high school class and you were seventh out of 400 people, but you literally don't want to go to graduation, you crying, you're miserable because you're not the valedictorian or the salutatorian. Like, that is a mentality that gets people to feel like, instead of wanting to achieve, I don't want that pressure, I don't want that smoke, so let's just everybody have a participation trophy. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. No, you can be, it's a mindset that frankly, this generation, and when I say generation, no, I'm really talking about kids.
It's our generation.
Our says exactly. We have fostered that in.
This stuff didn't happen until we became the age of parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once we became
it's literally our
generation. Absolutely. I'm speaking of the people who had children young. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like I was 30 to have kids. Yeah. I'm always the old dad at my sporting events.
We all are. Yes.
We're their old parents.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody looks at us like, and they think, you know, they think we're younger, but no, we're like literally at least 15 years older than everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
I just wear it well. That's right. All.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And everybody's so surprised, like, oh my God. No, nah, yeah, we're almost 50. But but yeah, so there's that part of the game. And I don't know what about our generation went so bad where the people that were our colleagues decided that we're not going to reward first, second, and third place anymore, and that everybody has a place. I don't know what happened. Maybe we were too competitive. I don't know, but
we didn't want our children and people around us who we cared about, even if it's not our children, we didn't want anybody to experience the pain that we felt, because we didn't value the fact that that pain actually drove us to be better in many ways.
There's a difference in not wanting someone to experience your pain and grinding.
But we don't value the grind. We don't value the grind is what I'm saying.
Well, here we go.
We don't value the grind.
But there's a line. Okay, talk, Andre.
Well, no,
where is that line? Yeah.
This is the segue that I was going to, because I was trying to figure out how I was going to work reality television into this, but Billy just gave me the out. So because again, our generation, we experienced the first episode of reality television.
Oh, yeah.
OJ Simpson trial.
Yeah, but we was grown.
No, the OJ. Nah. Well, I'm just saying the OJ Simpson trial was really the thing that let people know. Oh, people will watch this shit.
We were still like, old, though. We were still like 18, 19.
That was literally 1 week 18, after 19. We graduated.
We was grown. We wasn't impressionable babies. What I'm saying.
No, I'm saying, but follow me on this though. But like that was the birth of the OJ Simpson trial for people who aren't old.
Real world,
like that was the first reality television show.
Yep.
Since then. People, ironically, that were involved in that, the Kardashians, have become.
I've never watched one episode.
I haven't Flavor either, Flame. But they've become
Flavor of
ultimately Life. Stupid successful, like successful as in money. And Paris Hilton, same thing.
Well, Paris Hilton is a Hilton.
I know, but she. But what I'm saying is,
he's saying
but
there's no discernible talent. Nothing. Yeah,
like there. It used to be when we were watching, like before Kris Jenner became Caitlyn, like the decathlete. Like, yo, you weren't. Yeah. You were the greatest athlete in the world. Bo Jackson, okay. Barry Sanders. Like we all looked and saw a grind. There was a reason that you were famous. Like Michael Jordan had a reason he was famous. At this point, I cannot put a finger on why Kim K is famous. Can you?
I can.
Okay. I can. What's the reason?
She smashed Ray J on tape.
Okay. But anybody could have did that. That's my point. Everybody can't talk about Michael Jordan.
They did.
Well, some people did. Hers just, they had a better marketing strategy.
I'm just telling you. I mean, that's what happened.
She was willing to lean into and exceptionalism mattered to her in a way that it didn't to those.
Yeah, they put a whole tape together. Her mama was involved. It was a production.
But is there a discernible talent?
That's why she's famous, brother.
But is there a talent level there? Is my point. Like, there's an entire.
No, from what I saw on the tape, the little I saw on the tape, I didn't see any talent.
Like,
I
don't understand why everybody thinks she's so. I'm keeping it a buck, bro. I've literally seen her as close as I've been to this microphone. I've been that close to her, and I don't see it.
I get it.
Well, if you're looking at her face that close, then you wouldn't see it because you just by angles you couldn't see it. There's a reason though.
But what mean? I'm saying,
no, talk to me. Talk to me, Reverend. What didn't I see because I was so close?
As Reverend Brown said, turn around, ladies.
That ain't her.
That's not the point.
That is the point. That's the
entire it is the point. Whether she bought it, paid for it, did a 10,000
spots. I'm an OEM type of cat. That's why I like 70s movies.
I don't know if y'all think y'all arguing my point.
Absolutely.
This generation, like there's literally a generation currently right now that are store-bought, but she's the example. And this is what we're celebrating. Like,
right. These cats out here having kids that's a box of chocolates. They don't even know what they're going to look like.
And so, again, I'm calling, like, I'm not, and this isn't to, like, shame her or anybody else, like, in this
matter. It ain't no shame. No.
But there used to have to be some form of talent to make, like, sense that you were famous. There used to have to be, like we talked about in one of the previous episodes, you had to be able to spit bars in order to be considered to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Or something. You break dancing, dance, something. There had to be some.
She allowed Brandy's brother to put his penis in her on tape.
Well,
the word
that just, but that only answers her.
I'm explaining to you.
But here's the thing:
the risk. Like you talking about talent, I'm saying there's a risk, right? Like the chance you take, right? Like if you do this might happen, right? That's all I'm saying, and that's what it is. It's the same thing with Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton, even though she didn't have to, she blew some cat on tape.
That was even worse tape. But that's neither here nor there. I may have.
The thing is, the word is
just saying, dude. Like, I don't.
Canters.
I mean, we talking about what happened. I'm not.
But here's the thing.
I'm not even giving a judgment. I'm just speaking like matter-of-factly on this.
To Paul's point, though, there used to be a time, and this is what we're all essentially dancing around and saying, there used to be a time where you had to be exceptional. Yes. The reason why I gave up pursuing.
What did Farrah Fawcett do?
Well, here's the thing. Farrah Fawcett, it may not be...
Or Raquel Welch.
Here's the thing, though. That's
I'm asking what they did.
They were actually very accomplished actors. It's kind of like when we were talking about singing. No, very here's the thing. Absolutely.
That's what we're running with.
See, this is what I'm saying. The standard back then makes Farrah Fawcett or Raquel Welch look like they are raggedy and can't act. The fact of the matter is they couldn't act.
I didn't say they was raggedy.
No, but what I'm saying is in comparison to what we expected, they were not the greatest. But in
was Farrah Fawcett not listed as a 10? Like, she was gorgeous. Like, I mean, according to
that's what I'm saying. They put her in things.
This is
her Raquel Welch, Cher. For those who don't know, if you go to Cher pre-1980, Cher was
before all the work that she got on
different.
Man, Cher was
pre-1980, yeah. She was different.
Yeah.
Raquel Welch,
Tina Turner,
yeah. Pam Grier, Stephanie Powers. There's a bunch of young ladies that were dope.
But this is an interesting term,
just
Paul.
Just existing.
But it's a
there
different.
There was no surgery. There was no, you know what I'm saying? It was just makeup and hair.
But this is where I was going the Farrah Fawcett thing. And you mentioned it like with Pam Grier. Here's the problem. I personally, this is just my position. The patriarchy, we talked about this several weeks back.
Okay.
The patriarchy has us thinking that Pam Grier and Farrah Fawcett weren't actually accomplished actresses because Pam Grier had her boobs out in a couple of movies because she was hot as fire. Hey, man,
thank you.
Listen.
Thank you, Pam.
Shout out to Screen Picks Voices.
You know what? If you want to sponsor, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Screen Picks.
Coffee was my indoctrination into a lot of things.
Okay. Which goes back to last week when I was talking about Chaka Khan, but that's another conversation.
Jamie Lee Curtis
day.
Is another one.
The thing. What happens is the patriarchy has us thinking, well, she had to, you know, take her clothes off to get in. And that may or may not even be true. But the point is, it doesn't mean, here's what I'm saying. Two things can be true at the same time. Going back to something you said, though, Andre, I think you gave a perfect example. One of the things, and this is goes back to my biggest thing about doing the work and being willing to grind it out and fight through it. You mentioned Barry Sanders. Most people don't realize that Barry Sanders chose to go to Oklahoma State and do what? He sat behind Thurman Thomas, where he could have gone other places and played immediately. His daddy didn't even want him to go there. He chose to go there because he chose to just take punt returns and kick returns.
He chose to go there because he was stupid and he didn't know no better. We all dads and we have children who are athletes. Stop that. Don't do that.
You actually believe that he chose because he didn't know no better?
You actually believe that Barry Sanders chose Oklahoma State because he wanted a bigger challenge?
No, I'm not saying that. No. What I'm saying, no, I'm not talking about his reason for choosing it. I'm saying Barry Sanders became a whole Barry Sanders.
Oklahoma State because he was scared to leave home.
However, he got there. The point is, he went through the grind.
Right, Billy's talking.
That's
about
what
the
I'm
hopes.
Saying. I'm not talking about the choice.
The end result.
Okay.
I'm saying, at the end of the day,
let's not give his daddy no credit, and let's talk about what it is.
Saying,
we all got kids.
Okay.
Who have had dreams.
I'm saying,
and we know what happened with Barry Sanders. It wasn't about Barry Sanders.
Sat in the bench is what I'm saying.
His point was iron sharpened iron.
Yes.
Like, Barry Sanders became who he was because iron sharpened. It's the same reason we went to GCL as opposed to staying at Wynton Woods.
Okay,
wanted to up the competition,
about a Barry Sanders thing, we all at Forest Park and we win like four straight state championships.
Absolutely. Right. But the competition,
you understand what, because we scared to compete with them big country white boys. That's what happens if we had a Barry Sanders mentality and we just stay at Oklahoma State. We just stay at FB and Green Hills, and then the only competition is Princeton.
Only thing I'm saying is, regardless of how the origin story went, you get Barry Sanders because of the grind. That's all I'm saying.
Because I don't believe you get Barry Sanders. Well, no, because
to your point, Paul, had we all chosen to go to Wynton Woods, Forest Park, Green Hills, Forest Park, whatever the hell it was during that iteration,
right?
We would have sharpened each other.
Yes.
We would have been, one of us would have been Thurman Thomas and the other person would have been Barry Sanders.
Absolutely.
Facts.
So, so even how he got there isn't as important as the fact that it made him is what is the result.
What I'm saying is the reason you went to Moeller and you went to Bacon, you went to X with me. Yeah. Let's keep it 100. The reason you went to Moeller and you went to X with me is because you wanted to play on the bigger stage.
Yeah, I went on a recruiting visit.
He went to Oklahoma State because that's the biggest school that was closest to him. That's a different mentality.
Okay,
brother.
But I'm not disagreeing with you. Sought
the actual stage. He didn't do that.
Let's not lose sight of what my point is. That
my point, though.
No, okay, that's fine, but that's not the point I was making. I'm only saying he sat behind Thurman Thomas. He sat behind a better back. I didn't say he had to. I'm not even saying he wanted to.
What I'm saying is, if he hadn't been scared to leave home, he wouldn't have never sat behind Thurman Thomas.
But you're giving me an if. I'm not talking about the ifs.
Sean Taylor would not have been Sean Taylor had he not sat behind Ed Reed. And it wasn't nothing about being scared at this point.
Was going to be Sean Taylor wherever he went. Don't do that.
I'm not saying, again, we're saying elite.
Behind him is the point.
Yes.
He didn't just immediately go and get his shine. And that's what I'm saying.
He didn't choose to go sit behind a Hall of Famer. He went there because he thought he could beat Ed out.
I'm saying that society.
That's my point. You see what I'm saying?
He went there, but he didn't. And so he didn't.
He only had to sit behind Ed for a year.
But he still had to grind. He still got to the league, had some things he had to clean up, and still had to grind. Like, we're still talking about the grind itself was still there. His natural talent was going to take him wherever he was going to be. Michael Jordan was going to be Michael Jordan, whether he played at North Carolina, he played at Georgetown, he played whatever school. But I'm saying, like, the end result is that they still had to grind. And that is what's missing at this point. How we get into this mediocrity is that
nobody wants to grind.
Nobody.
Literally. Nobody.
Well,
and what I'm saying is, and my point in saying that, I didn't want to grind back in the 70s and 80s when we was kids and 90s when we was growing up.
Kid in the 70s and 80s.
Well,
I was a kid in the 80s, but Billy.
I was a kid in the 80s. I wasn't. Okay. 70s, I was, fine. You know, I was
the
a
80s.
Toddler.
I was born
birth certificate.
The 80s. Yeah, I was a toddler.
So what
bro.
I'm saying in 80s, none of us wanted to grind. Nobody.
Gale Sayers.
It goes against. Here's what I'm saying. It goes against the human condition to want to be uncomfortable. I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is the fact that you were talking about our generation and the kids that are coming up. Mm-hmm. Because we know how to hack the system, we don't allow our kids to grind. My father dropped me off at St. X and said, make it work.
Same thing with my kid.
But that's you.
Right.
We're the exception. That's really the point.
We are the exception to this rule as you're dealing with parents as coaches. You understand how you did with your children is completely different than how Ken and Sarah are doing with their kids. Like it is same reason, you know, old, what's the lady from Family Matters, Full House, bought her daughter's way in the USC.
Right.
And things like the actual grind of being able to tell your child you weren't good enough, that has disappeared at some point. I don't know why.
Yeah, you're going to have to pick something up and put it down around here.
Hey.
Repeatedly. For me to respect it. Like, that's just how it goes. If you can't pick nothing up and put it down, how can you expect me to respect your grind?
And I even, like you mentioned, the lady from Full House, her name escapes me at this point, but even like when it comes to academics.
I'm Becky.
Whatever it was, yeah. But that's kind of the thing. Even when it comes to academics, I know we talk about sports a lot because that's our background, but even when you talk about academics, when you talk about business, people literally want to, like, the entitlement, the handout, the idea that I deserve something, like, what? Show me your paperwork. Show me your receipts that says that I have to. Jeffy, you know how easy it is to go out here and call yourself a life coach, for example, or a business coach, or a trainer. Like, I think about Carlos and what Carlos is doing. Carlos actually has done the work.
Carlos Collins, for people.
Carlos, Andre's brother. Like, Carlos is the legend. And yet, there are
Buddy LaRosa, Hall of Fame legend.
I ain't saying I'm resentful, but
amazing running back ass mug. Yeah,
there you go. But the point is, here's what I'm saying. For every Carlos that's out there that's actually really doing the work and coaching these kids and actually showing how to get through college and all the work, you know, I know you guys got an upcoming project. We're going to shout out about that. What I'm saying is, there's a hundred other imposters out there that really, they're just self-proclaimed. Right. They're not really actually about it. And that's what I mean by the grind actually puts you in a spot where your mentality is different. This is a mentality I think we're talking about.
Well, I'm going to jump in here and to say this. Where is the line?
Between?
Like, where's the line? Because what we want is for everybody to win, but nobody wants to compete.
I don't. I don't want everybody to win.
Okay. I mean, I would like to see everybody be successful,
but we don't compete anymore.
I don't.
But I don't want to see people be successful without the competition. Now, I mean,
that's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I'll get my shot on if you win the lottery or some shit like that. Like, those are outliers. I'm talking about the actual, you know, I don't want to see anybody handed something as I'm already on, you know, what do they say? You starting off on third or whatever. Like, that bothers me. Like, the music industry bothers me because.
Yeah. Understand our kids are really starting off with a really big lead on second, though.
That's fine. Here's what I'm saying, though. To your point, even using the first and second and third base thing, here's my thing.
Big lead.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The issue is this. My issue is, and I mean what I said, I don't want everybody to be winners. I don't want everybody to be exceptional. Because here's the thing. It blurs the lines. It muddies the water. And it deals with exactly what we're talking about. And here's what happens. When you have people who are not exceptional in spots where you need an exceptional person, people get hurt. People get killed.
Well, here we are with this mediocrity conversation. Yeah,
because when you don't have, I mean, think about how many times you saw it, that little, you know, daddy ball thing. And then in a crucial spot.
Daddy ball is real.
Yeah. But in a crucial spot, when you actually need that player to show up, they can't do it. Well, that's because they've never been put through the crucible and put through the grind and forced to do it. Andre talked about it. His daddy benched him. I bench my son. I'm not giving him no preferential treatment. I'm going to give him all the help he can and support. And he's going to get a big lead on second base. But I'm not putting him on third.
I coached my kid harder than I coached any other kid.
Absolutely.
And it's because I was a coach. And my philosophy was, if I can't get this dude to listen, none of these other kids are going to listen. So I had to make an example out of my kid in order to control the rest of the kids. And I would tell him on the way to practice, like, yo, today going to be rough on you. I'm going to go at you for some bull. this is what's going to happen. Just fall in line. I'll buy you some ice cream. You know what I'm saying? I'll buy you some ice cream on the way home. Just chill out. Like, I'm about to yell at you for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, stuff like that. Like, you got to do things like that. You know what I'm saying?
My dad didn't give me the heads up. Chuck just yelled. I didn't get it. I'm still waiting on my ice cream. But even then, like, so let's, I mean, I get we're doing sports and kind of revolving around entertainment. I mean, obviously, because that's our wheelhouse. But, like, for instance, in Mississippi, I think it was a couple years ago, there was a black and a white girl. The black girl was supposed to be the valedictorian. Mm-hmm. The white girl's parents protested and filed a form so that her daughter could be the valedictorian because of
some they had other two different proms, right?
Right. And all these different things. It's us trying to appease, even for just small things, like nobody takes anything anymore. Like, it's all, well, if you don't give it to me, I don't know what to do. Like, and so I know you're saying, and it's true, mainly because of financial reasons, our kids are starting off at a better position, as well as starting off in a better position because of stability. Like, we are able to provide regular stability, which is what a lot of people from our generation didn't have. Cool. Right. They starting off on second. That don't mean I ain't going to push your ass to work your ass off to get to home, though. And I think that's where we are. Like, but a lot of parents from our generation aren't doing that. They either going to the coach, bitching and complaining to the coach, changes
that's
his
wild,
mind,
ain't it?
Or
like, imagine, I can't imagine calling a coach because your kid ain't playing. That's wild.
Yeah. Or they move him to a different team until they find it. What is that boy, Tate Martell, where he just continues to change teams until he finds a situation?
Oh, that's Paul Fett. No, don't do that.
Don't you talk about my tater salad.
Here we go.
Tater salad did his thing. Tater salad, I don't think he lost a game in high school.
But how many times did he transfer once he got to
college? No, he went to Bishop Gorman and was a starter as a freshman all the way through. Like, they was the number one.
He's talking
team.
About college, though.
Yeah, I'm talking
about college. Oh, you talking about college. I thought you was talking about
– New. I'm talking Ohio State to Miami
to BYU. You can't go from Little League and parents and then talk about what he did in college. I ain't got
the thing is –
I ain't got nothing to do with what Tater Salad did post Bishop Gorman.
I'll take another turn on this, because we see it more than just, like you said, entertainment and sports. I think and this goes back to another conversation
transfer
we had
portal
last week. Well, I'll take it back to another conversation we had like last week. I think it dilutes the talent pool when you have people who aren't we can't call a spade a spade. There are some people out there, even in what my vocation is in doing ministry and preaching and pastoring churches, there are some people out there that because they can sing a little bit or because they read a couple chapters in the Bible, they immediately want to throw them up there and make them preachers and somehow anointed. And the fact of the matter is there's no anointing to be found, but we've literally lowered the bar so far. And when you have people that truly aren't called to do those things, they really aren't exceptional in the sense that they really have a passion and a calling for it, you get the mediocrity, you get the scandals, you get the, oh my gosh, how could somebody ever do such a thing? How could they say such a thing? You mentioned, no, go ahead, Paul, go ahead.
I'll chime in just for a second, because, and I agree totally with what you're saying, but like, even when you look at it and you're asking where the line is, I absolutely have no idea where the line is, because when you look at Silicon Valley, for instance, there are people that, you know, our kids' generation look up to without realizing 75% of them got lucky.
You saying 75%?
I was going to say
99% got lucky.
Or they had rich parents.
And then you also had just we'll say that too. Or you had a 5% who grinded. Like, who actually put in the work, who had an original idea, who you know, the Mark Zuckerbergs, even though, you know, he's taking the spin for what he was, he had an original idea and worked his ass off. Michael Dell had an original idea and worked his ass off. Like,
or even Steve think Jones. About your guy, what's the movie that Will Smith did, The Pursuit of Happiness? The guy that was on, the guy, the stock
Oh, yeah, like yeah, yeah. Watching that movie.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about it.
I cried like a baby watching.
Yeah, absolutely. For every one of him.
Lord.
But here's the thing,
that's
Paul.
My flick.
because you can identify with that grind. That's all I'm saying. For every one of him, like Paul, like Andre was saying, there's 99 other ones that they was born on third base, or they had all kinds of twists and wrinkles in their story where they didn't have to grind. And all I'm saying is,
I went to the plate with an 0-2 count.
I want people, yes, and I want, the, and I, and here's the thing, I only want
I had to get on base, cuz.
What they say, if I'm in a foxhole, if my back is to the wall, I only want people who've had to be bent. You mentioned Michael Jordan. People say, oh, well, whatever, that was just JV or whatever when he was a sophomore. Here's the point. There is something psychologically to being benched. There's something psychological to being cut. There's something psychological to thinking, we talked about your boy, another one of Paul's boys. This is all Paul. My boy, Ja Morant. Like, the fact that it's like...
Demetrius. We are not going to call him Ja.
Okay.
Until he gets his thing together.
Okay. So here's the thing about Demetrius
Jr.
Okay. The thing about Demetrius Jr. is clearly Demetrius Jr. had the talent, but he had to go to Murray State. Like, that is, there is value in that.
There's a reason he had that much talent and got out of the state and got out of North Carolina and South Carolina.
That's my.
But and even then, like, even when you speak to people with, like, let's leave the athletes out of it. Like, people who get denied promotions, people who get denied jobs, like Tyler Perry sleeping in his car and now damn buying BET. Like, there's
and that ain't no fraud, right? He really did. Yeah.
There's all of these stories like that make people a different breed. Like, even if it's just to be quote unquote average person, like in America where you're making $60,000 and you go to a factory job every day, and there is literally nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying,
not like
there is a grind mentality that you have in order to be able to clock in and clock out every day for 35 years, 40 years, and keep doing it to make sure that everybody's good. Right now, we ain't even got, like, we got people who quitting on third day of the job. Yeah, nah, this ain't for me. Well, damn, what job is for you then? Like,
you know what? I ain't even gonna hate them people. I'm one of them people. I ain't gonna front, man. I'm not about to sit on no goddamn on Amazon line. Are you crazy?
But no, you got something else to do.
And I'm not saying it's beneath me. I'm saying it because
you have.
I know I sound like Ebony K. Williams right now.
You have other options though.
You figure, but if you realize that's not the lifestyle that you want, you still maximize whatever lifestyle that you have. I'm talking about the people who, like, I ain't going to work. My parents gonna take care of me. I ain't going to work.
Okay.
There's a point. Like, I know people get tired of saying we got a soft generation coming up, but I'm gonna call it, okay, they're not soft, they lost. Whatever you want to call it, where there has to be something that we pass on to them to make them quit. See that grinding is the way to get it done without
we're skipping a generation in order so we can stay in the workforce. Y'all sleeping. Either y'all sleeping or y'all just don't want to admit it. What happened is this generation is literally like immediately behind us. Right. We completely undertrained them.
I'll say
so
this,
we can keep our jobs.
There's a book that I just finished that was recommended to me. It's called Quit. And in the book, it chronicles and talks about different examples of people who basically how we as a society, part of the reason why we fail is we stay stuck in certain situations because we are unwilling to quit. We are unwilling to admit it's not for me or this isn't working out. It gave a great example about how Ali held on too long. He didn't know when to quit. Talked about how Richard Pryor got to the point where he, by the time we saw, you know, the Sunset Strip, he had already gone to the Comedy Store for a month and put a whole bunch of jokes out there that didn't work is all I'm saying. There were tons of Dave Chappelle does the same thing where it's like you put jokes out that didn't work, but you have to be willing and unafraid of admitting the fact that this thing did not work. And that's what I mean.
Okay,
by
that's what comedians do. They do go to little hole in the wall spots and throw things at the wall.
All I'm saying is, own it. Own the fact that something is not, you're not great at everything. It's okay to not be great at everything.
Where are we going?
I'm saying that mediocre is when you're not willing to admit that the fact is I'm just not as good as I thought I was at something. And that's okay. Find something else. Like you said, I'm never going to be great on the assembly line or at Amazon on the floor because I'm not doing it. The way my ankles are set up, no. That's just how it works. And that's okay. Or just like some people are police officers, it ain't for me. Mediocre police work is the reason why you, it's not even as much racial as much as you scared. And being afraid needs to be a prerequisite to get you kicked off the force.
No, most police officers are either afraid or they're aggressive. There's no in between.
Okay. And my point is mediocre cooks ruin a restaurant. Mediocre policing ruins a community. Mediocre teachers ruin a school.
Mediocre McDonald's is doing all right. McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King are doing all right. Those mediocre ass burgers, bro.
I don't even remember the last time I had McDonald's.
Well, you are a bodybuilder who wears little drawers on stage.
McDonald's makes me sick, is what I'm saying.
That's not even cooking.
That's not even cooking, though. I'm talking, they're just heating up food. All I'm saying is, anytime you are mediocre or something, but you are heralded as being exceptional, it waters down the pool. It makes it harder for everybody else.
What if being mediocre is actually the standard? And that is
the problem.
Why is that the problem?
Because exceptionalism should always be the goal. And if you can't reach it, there's no shame in it. But
how you gonna be elite? How you gonna be elite bringing up my groceries, brother?
You won't be elite. And we need to understand that being elite, not being elite is okay. Just don't call it exceptionalism.
I want you to be mediocre ringing my groceries up. I want you to be mediocre putting them in the bag. I want you to be mediocre bringing, you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Am I
making sense, Drake?
Yeah, but why do do we need to be exceptional at everything? Why do we have to be exceptional?
But the one thing that, like, 14-year-old got her first job, praise Jesus. She makes snowballs, like flavored snowballs.
Right. Like you but can't I make those her, excellent.
No, but I told but her to make
learning the skills. Yeah.
Like, yo, you need to put in the work. You need to show up on work early. You need to leave.
Right.
And like, there's still exceptionalism in within doing whatever you're doing. Like,
Habits.
Exceptional habits make exceptional people, though.
Yeah, y'all missing my point. Y'all missing my point on purpose.
That's actually what you're doing.
I want a regular ass snow cone when I come to get a snow cone from your daughter. I don't want the best snow cone I've ever had.
If she's mediocre, then she doesn't. Because I'm not going to get it. It's sticky.
The best snow cone I've ever had, I've already had.
Until you had my daughters, I'm telling you.
No, she'd be putting it.
You ain't never had no snowball till you done had one from Jazz.
Real talk. Like, the best snow cone I've ever had, I had when it was the first snow cone I've ever had.
Do you really believe
snow cone after that, I want it to be like snow cone, like protocol professional. You know what I'm saying?
Paul, do you really believe that Jazz is there to learn how to be the best snow cone maker ever?
That's what I'm asking you.
No, she's there to hone her skills because you know what you have to do in the real world? Sometimes you're going to have to work for somebody who's a bum and they're going to be the manager and you're going to be under them. Sometimes you're going to have to be in a situation.
Okay, so if she gives me a mediocre snow cone, am I supposed to be upset?
Maybe, but it's not even her fault. She didn't make the snow cone machine.
No, you're supposed to say thanks, Jazz.
No, what I'm saying is
people definitely don't do that now. If people coming back cussing out little 14-year-old girls, like, don't do that. That's what we back to entitled. Like, people are like, you saw it last year. It was somebody who fought the hostess at like Applebee's or something like that because of the check or something we got an identity problem going on like around everything that we do, and my whole point, and I get what you're saying, Paul, but
it's not bad to be a C grade at what you do. It's not wrong. It's like you should still go home and be able to look yourself in the mirror and be okay.
I'm just all the thing I'm saying is don't lie and don't, you know, what they say, you know, don't piss on me and tell me it's raining. Like piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
That's fair.
Stop
that's fair.
Lying and saying that somebody's exceptional when they're not. Like that's all I'm asking.
What I'm saying is are we requiring exceptionability in places that we probably shouldn't?
No. And that's why this idea that the minimum wage should be $25 for people working at McDonald's is a farce. And you serious? And that's why I jump. Yes, I'm serious.
Well, I think wage.
See, this is a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show. But the point that you're saying, Paul, where you're saying, are you supposed to be exceptional at bagging groceries? I don't need somebody exceptional at bagging groceries. I need somebody who's mediocre.
I just need to think.
Don't smash my bread.
Don't put my eggs on the bottom.
Yeah, and don't smash my bread down there.
To me, that's not a C. Like that's knowing your job and being excelling in your job. Like we're taking. Like, because what it turned into is we just shitted on all the grocery baggers. Like,
shout out to grocery baggers.
No, absolutely.
You know what? You know, real talk. I live out west, so we got to bring our bags. So
absolutely, like, we don't have bag. Yeah, you got to bring your bag in Delaware now.
Yeah,
we so in the South. We bag our own stuff out here.
He actually in America. Okay.
We destroy when the ocean touches your things. when the ocean touches where you live.
We trying to say
you don't get you have to pay for bags. Yeah,
we don't care about the ozone or your turtles. We kill it
right.
All I'm saying is, as long as you do not have to be an exceptional individual in the sense of like you don't. It doesn't require. It's like changing oil in a car. You don't have to be exceptional mechanic to change oil in the car, but that doesn't require exceptionalism. All I'm saying is, do not call yourself an ASE certified mechanic. Just because you can change a tire, they're not the same thing. And I mean, don't do that to the mechanics that have done the work.
That's what the requirement for the certification is, then that's what it is.
That doesn't make you exceptional just because you can figure out I got a 14 size socket and I can unscrew it and I can drain
to you, bro. And what I'm trying to explain to you is exceptional is subjective at this point in our lives.
It is. And that part, but that's the point that I was saying was as far as bagging groceries, like based on our level, yeah, mm-hmm. like, oh, you bagging groceries, cool. Like that's, but based on like, if they're doing the best that they can.
That's exceptional. Yes.
That's exceptional to me. That's not mediocrity.
But that goes back to the relative thing. That is relative to the person. Here's the thing though. As long as you're not trying to compare the dude bagging groceries to Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm cool with it.
Well, you know, it can work different ways though, because AOC was just a waitress until she wasn't. So,
I mean, that you know what? Yeah, go.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna touch that one either.
Go ahead.
I'm not even gonna go.
You try to get it shut down.
I just wanted to see it.
I ain't touching that.
America, I have managed to silence both Paul and Billy. I want you to know that this is a monumental moment.
Cute.
In
that's
the
all I got.
Of the Gray Matters.
Go on, wrap that up.
That's it. All I got is she cute.
All right, for those of you who are listening by streaming platforms other than watching this on YouTube, that sound you heard was the sound for the APB. So I'm going to handle the APB for today. Who I'm looking out for, and I guess this ultimately puts this episode into a pretty bow, is I'm looking for parents and kids alike to strive for exceptionalism. Mm. I'm looking for, whether you meet it or not, that is based on an individual, you know, goal chart that you have to set for yourself. But the generation and there are amazing, like amazing kids doing amazing things out there. Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying is you should strive to be one of them. Don't strive to be the one who got the lottery ticket or just, you know, trying to make the quick money or happen to invest in Bitcoin and it finally took off or anything like that. Like, work a plan to be exceptional at whatever it is that you choose to do. If it's, you know, owning a grocery store or working at a grocery store,
you know, being a cook or whatever it is. Like, there's too many tools and resources out in the world now for you just to accept whatever somebody's handing you. Like, try to be a person that is being exceptional, whatever it is. And that includes being a parent. Like, even no matter how many mistakes you've made as a parent up to this point, after you listen to this episode, try to do something better. Spend more time with your kids. Try to, you know, get involved in their homework. Try to figure out, even if you can't do the homework yourself because of lack of education or just lack of knowledge, shit, time has passed. I don't remember how to do, you know, fractions. Like, spend the time with them to be able to help them understand that you are in the fight with them, not you're going to take over the fight for them. That is what I'm looking for, is just, you know, people to grind. Like, I think we that's been the ultimate theme of this show, is to grind it out. So that's what I'm looking for.
Can I jump on that real quick too?
Sure.
Go ahead.
And this is going to sound, maybe to people who don't know me, or if you're not familiar, this may sound a little bit awkward, me saying this, but I'm going to just piggyback on what Andre just said. I was an exceptional individual who didn't know it. And a lot of that came from the fact that I listened to people who told me that I wasn't. And so just, I want to encourage people to take what Andre just said seriously, that, you know, just because you were told or you were maybe given, you know, the short end of the stick, you were shortchanged, do not allow that to stop you from being motivated to reach your highest level. Like, I'll give you an example. There are people tell me all the time, and I'll, you know, I had a conversation with my dad, right? This is a few years back. And I was getting ready for a bodybuilding competition. And he said, "Aren't you kind of old to be bodybuilding?" And my response to him was, "Yeah, I am kind of old, but I'm not too old." And I knew what I was doing for me. I'm never going to be Mr. Olympia. I'm never going to even compete for that. My goal is to be able to qualify for nationals, be in Orlando by the time I'm 50. So I got about 2.5 years. That is my peak. That is what I've set out for myself to reach. And I say that out loud and I verbalize that because I honestly want people to hold me accountable to that. I want people to say, "Hey, how's it going? Are you going to make it? You don't look like you're that big," whatever. My point is, don't allow people to stop you from doing exactly what Andre just said. Be whatever your best is. We were talking about this with singing. You don't have to be Luther Vandross to be a good singer. You can be, you know, somewhere else. You don't have to be on that level. You don't have to be Charlie Wilson.
Better. You could be Charlie Wilson.
You don't have to be Brian. Here we go. See how we do? He just couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it, Andre. But you understand my point. There's literally levels to it, right? Go be the best you can. Don't just settle and don't allow other people to force you into a place where you feel like you should settle or just give up.
Don't be Joe Burrow when you could be Lamar Jackson.
See how we do? Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week on The Gray Matters. We appreciate all the support that we get from you all. We appreciate the love that we get on all of our platforms. We want to encourage you all to make comments, ask us questions. If you have any show topics or ideas that you want to hear us talk about, or if you'd like hit us up. Send us a message. Leave a comment in the comment section. But we especially want to just say thank you for all the support.
Absolutely.
For sharing with your friends and letting other people know about us as we're gaining traction. We appreciate every last one of you. Not a single one of you goes without notice. And so we want to say especially thank you to all of you and your support. We look forward to seeing you again next week with yet another topic that is guaranteed to be explosive. And if nothing else, it'll be thought-provoking and hopefully make us all better humans, which is what we should all be striving to be. So thank you once again. We look forward to
seeing you. Which means Billy will be wrong again.
As well, hey, somebody's got to do it. Dirty jobs. Somebody got to do it.
Peace.
Y'all stay up. Be peace. Blessed.
Take care. See how we do? See how we do?
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave, no longer a slave, beat to the gods, still pray, surviving my day, a threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you're seeing the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is the fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and see what we'll find.
Promise.
Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World at Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar. The Gray Matters.